Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it as we move forward in the Word of God. And all I can say is, it is a great word this morning. This is, for those that are new to moving forward, this is New Testament Sunday. And when we say New Testament, it's New Testament, but we also throw in a psalm in the Proverbs, because that is the word of God and we are standing on it, because God's word is true. You can't add to it and you can't take away from it, because God is just that good and we are his children and he loves us. Love, to be loved by God, is something so special. But I need your prayers this morning. This is about the second time in less than 2 months that my oldest son, who travels the highways and byways, has had a flat tire. And he just got brand new tires and had a flat on yesterday on his way to work. And he drives an hour and a half one way, so 3 hours round trip to and from work. And I'm asking you to keep him in prayer, because it was rainy and slick on last night, but God, he got to work. And it looks like he got to work pretty close to on time, even with the flat. Not sure what's going on, but I know that in our spiritual realm, everything has a significance. And so I'm asking God, whatever the significance is for these flat tires, getting that, God guides him in the right direction. So when you pray your prayers today, please add my son, A.T., to your prayers. It would be appreciated that God would keep him safe from all hurt, harm, and danger as he travels these highways and byways. Heavenly Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord, with outstretched arms, looking up, lifting up the name of Jesus, asking you, Father God, as always, to increase as we decrease, God. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer, Father God. I lift today, Lord God, this mighty word, and I ask you to show us, Lord God, help us to feel it in our spirit, in our hearts, and in our minds, God, that this word will percolate and permeate our spirits, God. And Father God, as you show us the way through this word, how to walk right, talk right, and live right, I ask you, Lord God, to cover my children as they travel highways and byways on their job. As one drives a truck for a living and the other has to drive 3 hours to and from work, and the other has to take a train or drive to her destination. And Lord, I ask you to cover my daughter as you cover my son, God, as she gets ready to take a plane to a conference. Keep her safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, God. I ask you to watch over her and her family, God. Let everything be done decently in order as she does her travel preparation. Lord, let her have everything she needs. And Lord, as you take care of my daughter, take care of my son, God. Show him why he keeps getting these flat tires, God. Guide him and lead him down the path of righteousness, God. For your name's sake, Christ Jesus, I ask you to save my children. For you know what each and every one needs, God, from the oldest to the youngest. And I ask you, Lord God, to lead and guide them. Show them the way to salvation. Show them the way to you. Guide them, God. Give them each job that they need where they're not having to do as much traveling, God. But as they do travel for their jobs, God, I ask you to put your angel of protection around each and every one. Put their guardian angels and angels that protect them. Surround them, O Lord, with your grace and your mercy. Bring them safely to and from their destinations, Lord God. And in the name of Jesus, as I lift this word up, Lord, let it touch someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's spirit, that they will ask, what must I do to be saved if they are not already in the ark of safety, God? And Father God, as you guide me, Lord, let me not be distracted today, for I have an assignment, and Lord, I want to complete it. Give them the end in order. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanking all of you for joining me this beautiful, rainy, cold morning. We have had a weekend, but I have to do a quick shout out to my sister in Christ, Sister Carla Sturdivant, and to Brother Ken. Wow, what a awesome women and men get together on yesterday. We had a great time, filled with laughter, filled with everything we need to just enjoy the day. Gifts all around. It was wonderful. And so all I can say is thank you, God, for a beautiful, beautiful day. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, for your goodness and for your kindness. Wonderful, wonderful afternoon. And so I'm just thanking God again that all things will work in our favor and that all is well with God and all is well with us. So just want to thank God this morning. You know, even when you go through, you still got to believe that it all is going to work out, because that's just what God does. He works it out. Whenever we least expect it, he works it out. Whenever we can't think straight, he works it out. I'm believing God for a workout in my life. I'm believing God for a workout in my finances, in my health, in everything. I'm believing God for a work it out. So our word for this morning is coming out of the book of 2 Peter, which we just started. And I just can't say enough. Can't say enough that God is so very, very good. I looked at the lesson in the middle of the night. I was tired, but I'm like, Lord, tell me. And it says, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God is wanting us to grow in grace. I forgot grace is so important. In grace and in knowledge of the Savior. So many times we want to just kind of like, whatever. No, we can't, whatever, the word of God. We got to involve in it. So just let you know, this morning we do have some great words. We will be coming out of the 136th Psalm, starting at verse number 10. And we will be going to the 137th Psalm, verse number 9. And our proverb this morning is Proverbs chapter 29, starting at verse number 2 and ending at chapter 29, verse 15. And our New Testament word for this New Testament Sunday is 2 Peter, starting at chapter 2. And we will be reading 2 Peter chapter 2 through 1 John chapter 1. So we will be also starting a new book today. We will be in 1 John also. So we got some word to do this morning. But I just want again say, just want to again say thank you for joining me, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for moving forward in the word of God with me, because God's word means so much to me. It is, as they say, folks have their happy place. The word of God is my happy place. It's that place where I go to just feel the presence of God. It's my shield. It's that wheel in the middle of the wheel. It's the grace that I need. It's everything to me. That's the word of God. And that's how I feel. I can't get enough of God's word. I dream it as I speak it, and I am thankful for it. My happy place is in the book. I've always been an avid reader, but now I'd rather read the word of God. And I'm so thankful for those that have been with me from day one. We've been through the word. We've been through the word. And we got a whole lot more to do before we end this year. As I look at the end of my Bible, I'm thinking we have a lot less than we started with. As I see this big old thick scripture on my left side and very thin on my right side. God's will, we will have read the entire Bible on December 31st. And I tell you now, January 1, first prayer. We got prayer at 8 o'clock. So we may be a little bit early on that day, but January 1, there will be a moving forward, and we will be moving forward in Genesis chapter 1 if it's God's will. So thank you so much. Let's get in the word. Hopefully everybody is where they need to be so we can get started. And the word of God in our psalm this morning is starting in Psalm 136, starting at verse number 10. And I pray that you can hear me clearly. If there is an issue with one of you, please push the number 1 on your phone and we can do a sound check if I am not clear. If I am clear, let's keep it moving. And it says, to him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever, with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever, to him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. For his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his mercy endures forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Shihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endures forever, a heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever, who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endures forever, and rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever, who gave food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, saints. His mercy endures forever. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our hearts upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive ask us of gone. And I am in the 137th Psalm. I have currently read verses 1 through 3. And as we continue, it says, and those who plundered us, hallelujah. Thank you so much. Hopefully this is a little bit now. Thank you so much. And I pray that you can hear me a lot clearer now. Just give me a thumbs up. And I would like to give a shout out to Tracy. Tracy is amazing, and she is so humble. And I just want to say thank you, Tracy, for being moving forward member here and coming in and being with me every morning pretty much. So just want to say, I give a shout out to Tracy and a thank you. And it says this, as we go back, it says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, we hung our hearts upon the willows in the midst of it. But there, those who carried us away captive asked us a song. And those who plundered us requested mercy. Then sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. And when I read this verse, when I was a teenager, I was able to go see the musical Godspell. And I also saw Jesus Christ Superstar. But Godspell was like our generation. You know, they were like hipsters with, you know, back in the day, folks would paint their face. You know, they would afros and overalls and just kind of psychedelic outfits, and that was Godspell. But one of the songs in Godspell is this, sing us a song, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? That is one of the songs that's in the musical Godspell. Of course, everybody knew Day by Day. But that song was so poignant, and it touched hearts, and it saved so many young people. It saved us, you know, because when you were thinking, you'd say, sing us a song. You know, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? When you think of slavery and the things that people go through, sometimes you feel that you're in a foreign land. What a mighty scripture. And this is a life lesson that Dr. Stanley gives us. It says, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? While our surroundings and circumstances can greatly influence our natural ability to worship God, true worship has less to do with outward conditions than with the decision of the will to draw on the inward sources of the Spirit. We've got to sing a song of Zion. Whatever you're going through, don't give up. Don't give up. Allow God to guide you and to lead you. Sing that song of Zion, even in the midst of whatever it is that you're having to handle. Flat tire in my older son's case, and just over being overwhelmed sometimes in my own. But we got to sing that song of Zion, regardless of what you're seeing that's foreign, that's like, Lord, this is not me. God, to guide and lead you and show you the way that you will be able to sing the Lord's song. And it says this, remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who says, raise it to its very foundation. In other words, tear it down. O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed? Happy the one who repays you as you have served us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock. That just brings tears to the eye to think of someone dashing little ones in the rock, to think of children being murdered out of hand because of power, because somebody has more power than someone else. Sing the songs of Zion. And as we go into our proverb this morning, Proverbs chapter 29, starting at verse 12, it says, if a ruler pays attention to lies, all his servants become wicked. Bam. The poor man and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. God gives light to the eyes of both. Proverbs 29:14. The king who judges the poor with truth, his throne will be established forever. You got one who rules with lies, and his servants become wicked. But a king who judges the poor with truth, his throne will be established forever. God wants us to be right and righteous. God wants right and righteous in his people. He wants us to live right, do right, be right. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and rebuke gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. You got to make sure that don't spare that rod and spoil that child, because I tell you, you will have problems later. We got to walk in righteousness, and we got to teach our children to walk in righteousness. You know, I have seen so many times where kids are running the household. When I grew up, it wasn't a matter of if I wanted to do an Easter speech or if I wanted to do a Christmas speech. It was, you will do a Christmas speech. You will do a Easter speech. You will do what you're asked to do. Don't come tell me, I don't want to do it. I don't like this. Why do I have to? I didn't form my mouth because I didn't want to get slapped in it, being disrespectful in the house of God. But now children tell their parents what they want to do and what they don't want to do. Kids don't want to do it. Parents are like, okay, they don't want to do that. They don't want to go to church today. They don't want to sing in the choir. They don't want to. They don't. When did they don't become the in charge of a household? Who is putting food on the table, clothes on their back, shoes on their feet, a house over their head, and they're going to tell you what they will and won't do. And you're like, okay, Susie doesn't want to go to church today, so we'll stay home. Junior don't want to sing in the choir because he'd rather play football, and they got football practice on Sunday, so we're going to go to football practice because, you know, Junior's real good, and I want him to be a pro one day so he can take care of his mama. When did Junior and Susie become the head of the household? When did they get a job to pay the bill? But we are acting like that these days. Children are running the household. And when children run the household, you got chaos because they don't have the wisdom and the understanding. for what is good for them. We got to pray. And as we move forward in the Word of God, we're in 2 Peter. And Peter was one that wanted us to understand. Our title is coming out of 2 Peter chapter 3. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And growing in it means that you have to stay in it, that you have to be a part of it. You can't grow if you're not coming to church. You can't grow if you're not studying the Word of God. You can't grow if you're not on your knees talking to God. You can talk to God on your knees. You can talk to God in your seat. You can talk to God while you're standing up doing dishes. You can talk to God anytime, any place, and anywhere. But we need to spend time with Him and pray. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your pastors and your churches. Prayer changes all kind of things. And as we go into 2 Peter this morning, it says, but there were also false prophets. And I'm telling you, we've got to be careful in this season, in this time. There are many out there teaching a lying word. It's taking God's word, switching it, changing it, and totally bastardizing it. That is not the word that God wrote. It's something they made up. Have Christians going here and there, everywhere, mixing politics with religion. You know, thinking that, well, what they said on this particular news channel or that particular news channel is the gospel. No, it's not. Throwing it down in the house of God is not a God. Well, I'm going to the church du jour, but I'm going to this pastor's church because, girl, they got a band. And then folks come for praise and worship and then leave. Because praise and worship, they up there, you think you was in the club. Folks in the audience dancing just like they did last night while they were shaking it down. They shaking it down in the house of God because the false teacher said it don't matter. It don't matter if you come into the house of God with your dress almost up to your behind and your shoulders out and all your boobs about to pop out. It don't matter because God said come as you will. But we still got to respect the house of God. And we're dealing with false teachers. Prosperity is not everything. You cannot take this stuff with you. You can't take your car with you. You can't take your house with you. You can't take your clothes, your mail, whatever you got. You cannot take it with you. Somebody's preaching all this mess about money, money, money. They're not talking about your soul. And God wants us to be saved, set free, and filled with the Holy Spirit. That we will walk in righteousness. That we will walk in grace. That we will walk in mercy toward each other. But this is what Peter tells us. Peter, the rock that Jesus built the church on, said that there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. Yes. Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels, who sinned but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly and turning the cities and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. But that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the object of the punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these little natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that they cannot see from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed. Don't mess with God. They are cursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Come on now. For those that don't know who Balaam was, he was a prophet. But he was a prophet for hire. It was all about the money, honey. He didn't care. And he didn't get money to curse Israel, but instead it backfired. He was on his way to do dirt when his donkey wouldn't move, and he started beating the donkey. And then the angel of the Lord let the donkey speak. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. That donkey saved his life because he was about to walk into death because an angel was on the road with his sword ready to chop him down. And it says, these are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. But if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. But it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mill. Woo! We got to be careful, family. We got to watch as well as pray that we don't fall into the traps of the enemy. He's always out there selling stuff. You know, if you buy this, I'll give you that. Send $9.95 and I'll send you a bottle of prayer oil. Send $195 and I'll send you water from the Jordan. You know, we got to be careful what we are listening to and what we are doing. You can think you're doing what's right and find yourself all wrong, all messed up from the flow up, money gone because you've fallen after false prophets and because you saw them on X show or heard them on X show, so they must be real because if such and such is listening to them, then I need to listen to them too. And then they send you your bottle or oil that you paid $195. And that $195 should have been going to your local church. Should have been going to your local charity. Should have been going somewhere where you know it's getting what it's doing, what it needs to do for the community at large, not going into some rich man's pocket. We got to pray. We got to ask God for guidance and understanding that we do not fall for the lies of our prophets. 2 Peter 2:1. There were also false prophets among the people who were secretly bringing destructive heresies. The best way to recognize counterfeit doctrine is to become thoroughly familiar with the truth. What is the truth? It is Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. And when we know him, we can understand and discern the falseness of false prophets, false teachers, false preachers, those that are not preaching the word of God. Someone whose mind is being trained to know and love the truth will not easily be led astray by false teaching. And I can tell you this, since we have been studying the word of God for these last 6 or 7 years, it's like God gives me a discernment when I hear a word preached that's out of context. And that's the word out of context. It's the right scripture, but it's preached out of context. You know, someone took the scripture and then switched it and changed its meaning because people don't go and look at the word of God to read the before and to read the after of a particular scripture. And when we talk about, you know, John 14:14, you need to read John 14:1. You need to understand who Jesus is talking about. He's talking about himself, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but through him. And when he says that whatever you ask, you got to ask in my name, and the Lord will do it. You got to read the whole thing to get it in context. And in 2 Peter 2:19, they themselves are slaves of corruption. People who encourage us to join them in their sin are like junkies. Who encourage people to join them in their drug habit. They promise a good time and a real high, but in fact, they are trapped in a destructive lifestyle. You got folks running to, I'll call it the church du jour, because everybody's going there. You want to go there too, because the pastor, girl, he's young, he's fine, and honey, that band, girl, when you go in to praise and worship, it just takes you there. It takes you there because you're in a place where the music is just like it was last night. Just as I said, where it was thumping and bumping and folks were slipping and sliding. And the next thing you know, you calling yourself doing the dance of the Lord, but all you doing is shaking, you know, as they saw back in my day, they were shaking their groove thing and shaking it in the church just like they shook it in the club. And you look over, and there's the electric slide going on in row 3. And you got the back it up, wobble, wobble going on in aisle 7. And they all in the aisle, and they got it going on. You'd think they was in a line dance in the club. And we got to watch that. We can't get to shouting just because somebody said, and the Lord said shout. The Lord didn't say shout. You said shout. You said dance. There's no Holy Spirit up in here. We got to be careful where we set ourselves on Sunday. And we all got to remember the Sabbath is Saturday. You know, don't get it twisted. Because the Word of God said that things will be changed. All we remember, we just read in Daniel. We know that things are being changed, God changed, to the first day of the week and not the second. And I know there are those that will say, she don't know what she's talking about. There we go again, a woman preacher thinks that she knows stuff. No, I read. And I read because I want to know. I want to study and understand. And we got to read and study and understand. And we got to pray. God, ask God, guide me, Lord. And it says in 2 Peter 3:3, it says, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle in both of which I stir up your pure mind by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which was spoken before by the holy prophet and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, come on now, as they were from the beginning of creation. But this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water. And in the water by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Fire. Think about this, family. Numerous in this last decade, numerous fires in California, in Colorado, all on the West Coast. Fire, 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 fire all over the place. And we're wondering, what is going on? God is reminding us, don't take this fire for granted. Don't think I don't see it all. I see everything. I see that spark in the wood. And fire can destroy everything in its path. $1 million homes destroyed. All kind of stuff going on. We got to understand, it does not play. What he says he will do, he will do. And it says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Nor forgive me for anything I said or done that was against your divine majesty. Lord, I repent of my sins, thoughts, and sins completed and done. God, forgive me. We got to ask for forgiveness for our tongue, that little thing that causes fire. We've got to ask for forgiveness. We've got to repent. We've got to change our ways. It says, but the day of the Lord will come in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the element will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you be in the holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blindness. And consider that the suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Also, in all his in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's our word for this morning. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Are you growing in the knowledge of the Savior? And as we go to what the Bible says about spiritual growth, from 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, not many people can say that on the day they were saved, someone explained to them the steps to spiritual growth. I was 13 years old, filled with the Holy Ghost, trying to preach to my parents. When I was 16, trying to preach to the presiding elder, told him that his message was lukewarm and that he needed to be telling folks about hell and damnation. 16, thinking I knew it all. 17, called to ministry. Feel so much on my knees in Toronto, Canada. That's where I got saved, in Toronto, Canada. Just couldn't stop weeping. Kept saying, yes, God, yes. But instead, I got married 2 years later. Went to college, had children, did everything I wanted to do. Even at one point, quit going to church. Never got tired of praying and being in my word. God answered all kind of prayers. So I just wasn't going to church. Didn't want to be bothered with them people. And then what happened? God, this lady with a little soft voice, asked me to help out with Vacation Bible School. And the rest is history. Almost 20 years ago. And I've been working with this particular person ever since in the ministry of youth and in ministry. And I ask God to keep her covered under the blood. Pastor Michelle Washington, youth director, and I'm youth pastor. And I tell you, we work as a team, and we have for almost 20 years. I got called. I called myself signing up for Vacation Bible School just to be an assistant. The next thing I know, I was teaching, and then teaching everything. And I'm grateful, God rest his soul, that my husband encouraged, even though I thought it was him that was supposed to be the pastor and that it was him who was supposed to preach and be the minister of music and do all these things. But it was always me, and I just didn't want to accept my calling. It took me until I was 50, believe 52 years old to do it. So when God calls you, be ready to answer and have grace. And it says, not many people can say that on the day they were saved, someone explained to them the steps to spiritual growth. Unfortunately, some believers never hear how to grow in grace. Because none of us grow as Christians without taking action. Peter instructs believers to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then how are we to grow? The Bible gives us some powerful guidelines. First, we are responsible for renewing our minds, Romans 12:2. So God saves us and gives us a new spirit. He does not give us a new brain. Disobedience and rebellion have dug or worn many ugly churches in our minds. So we must meditate on the Bible, which expresses the thoughts of God. Meditation is more than reading. It involves thinking about what the word means and then applying the truth we discover. When we meditate on his word and depend upon the spirit's power to help us put it into practice, our minds undergo the wonderful process of transformation. That is how we obtain the mind of Christ. Second, we must be ready to admit our failures and assume responsibility for them. When we deny our sins, we delay our spiritual growth. But when we confess our failures, the opposite happens. Growth becomes inevitable. James tells us, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. James 5:16, we just read that. The third step naturally follows the second. After confession should come repentance. This is more than acknowledging wrongdoing or promising to try harder. Repentance means that we commit to make an about face and head in the opposite direction from our sin. Paul taught new converts that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. God's ultimate goal is for all believers to become more Christ-like. That happens only when through faith we tap into the power of God. With these steps, we will begin to move in that direction. And soon, our relationship with God begins to deepen. What a mighty word. And our last word for this morning is coming out of the book of 1 John. In 1 John, just an overview in our little Know Your Bible book. We are getting there. 1 John. Not stated, but according to church tradition, the Apostle John, approximately AD 92, Jesus was real man just as he is a real God, was a real man as he is a real God. Details, please. 1 John tackles a strange heresy that claimed Jesus had been on earth only in spirit, not in body. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not a God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, John 4:3. So John wrote that he knew Jesus personally as one, which we have looked upon in our hands of heaven, 1 John 1:1. And that knowledge leads to a saving belief in Jesus. Saving belief leads to obedience, but even when we sin, we know that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess, 1 John 1:9. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. God is love. 1 John 4:7-8. First, the unique and unusual about 1 John. 1 John includes none of the usual features of a Bible letter, greetings, identification of the author, and the like, but it is a very warm, compassionate letter nonetheless. So what? These things have I written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. Emphasis. Hallelujah. And then 1 John 1:1-10. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. Concerning the word of life. And we know the word is Jesus. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. What did Jesus say in John 14? I am the way, the truth, and the light. He told us who he was. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And when we go to the life lesson from John 1:1-10, the first is 3. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Dr. Stanley tells us everything in the Bible has been given to us to help us and enable us to enjoy an intimate relationship with God. God's top priority for your life is to walk in close fellowship with him. God wants us to have fellowship with him. 1 John 1:4. These things we write to you that your joy may be full. Believers sometimes excuse some very foolish behavior with the statement, but God wants me to be happy. God does not want us to be tore up from the floor up, in debt up to our ears, in lack, in need, of a good financial counselor because we're out of control. That's not a God. God wants us to be happy in our giving because we have to give. Not prosperity, just doing what's right. God wants you to budget. God wants you to do the things you need to do to get your life right. And I'm speaking not to y'all, I'm speaking to me. Come on now. Because believers sometimes excuse some very foolish behavior with the statement, but God wants me to be happy. The truth is God wants something much better for us than happiness. He wants joy, but that comes only in obedience to him. We got to be obedient to God. 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. John, the apostle of love, tends to be very uncompromising in his perspective on the Christian walk. Obedience to God is necessary. He says, not optional. And those who habitually disobey do not know God. Whew! What a word this morning. All we can do is say, thank you, Lord, for this mighty word today. Thank you, Lord, for coming in, taking a seat, and teaching us your word, God. Thank God this morning. Father God in heaven, we thank you for another day. We thank you for a mighty word, God. We ask you, God, to continue to lead and guide us, that we will walk in righteousness, God. Give us the discernment in our spirit to hear your voice and not allow it to be in any other frequency, that we hear a voice that is not yours telling us to walk the wrong path, God. Guide us and lead us, God, that all things will work out for our good because we trust and believe in you, Lord. Father God, as we move forward on this day, let us not forget that this is your day that you have made, God. We're going to rejoice and praise you, God. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus, for he is our Savior. He is you, Lord God, in the flesh that came into this wicked world as you gave yourself as a lamb, a sacrifice for all of us sinful people, God. You gave us an opportunity for grace. You gave us an opportunity for mercy. And all I can say, Lord God, let us grow in grace and knowledge of you, Lord Jesus, that we never forget your sacrifice, that we never forget that you are the Son of God, that you are a part of God, that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the light, that you light our square, God. And that when we stay in your light, in the ark of safety, everything will work out. All we have to do is have faith and believe that all things be. Lord God, you know our hearts, you know our minds, and you know our spirits. So, Father God, as I pray this prayer, Father God, may the Lord watch between me and all those that are listening while we are absent, one from each other. In the name of precious and holy name of you, Christ Jesus, we pray. Bless each and every one. Lord, lead them to our Bible-believing teaching church, that they will hear your voice, God, and not the voice of the enemy, that they will hear and that they will grow in you. In Jesus' name, in your name, Savior, we pray. Amen. Giving honor to God, again, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, have a blessed and wonderful day. Please come back, God willing, on tomorrow with Mother Valerie and I as we continue in Daniel as well as in 1 John as we move forward in the Word of God. Thank you so much for coming in this morning and listening in. We had a word, and remember, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and watch and watch in your life. Thanking you, God. Thanking all of you. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. It is a wrap because I have got to go to church early today. I got an assignment. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap. Join us tomorrow, God willing. Be blessed.